Just a quick announcement before I get things started. Afterwards, there's going to be a very short 5-minute worship team meeting in that corner. So if you're on the worship team or as youth service leaders, Ian's going to meet with you guys for 5 minutes. So just in that corner after youth service ends. So just a quick announcement on that. And then second announcement, I think you guys have been doing a pretty good job, but just remember that when we enter and exit through the doors, they do slam pretty loudly. So just make sure to be gentle with the doors. The second announcement. And then third announcement, I'm glad we shared the Annie Armstrong video. It was great. If you feel inspired, give some money. Actually, with our church plant, Annie Armstrong, they are helping directly with that church plant. So that's how it kind of brings it to the ground at FCBC. So just three quick announcements. Today's message is on leaving the faith. It can be a heavy topic because you may know somebody who has left the faith. You may know somebody. Maybe it's a friend. Maybe it's someone you used to know. Maybe it's even a family member, a sibling or a cousin, aunt or uncle who used to be at church walking closely with the Lord, and for whatever reason, they walked away. And maybe you might be on the fence that if it weren't for your parents dragging you to church on Sundays, you're not sure where you would actually be in the faith, that this is more of like a routine or just to, you know, respect your parents. So leaving the faith, it's a very important topic and sometimes heavy because we may have loved ones who have left the faith. What do we do about this? If you're joining us for the first time in a while, we're in the book of 1 Timothy, which we just read, and Paul wrote this letter to 1 Timothy, and he warns Timothy, hey, when you establish a church in Ephesus, watch out for false teachers, because the tragic result is that when they lead people astray, they will walk away from the faith. That's why Paul is so serious, and he's so he takes it with the utmost seriousness when he talks about false teachers, because the danger, it can lead somebody to walk away from that faith. And so Paul's going to talk about a specific false teaching in the church back then called asceticism. We'll talk about that later, so don't get too confused or if you're not sure what that means. Today's messages might look different from asceticism, basically denying worldly pleasure, but there are still millions of false messages today that can lead us astray. So Paul describes the danger, almost the behind-the-scenes look at what happens when somebody leaves the faith, because it's never really an independent someone who wakes up one day and says, you know, I don't want to go to church anymore. It normally doesn't happen like that. It's usually a series of hundreds of thousands of steps. And it might be kind of weird to think this way, but Paul actually explains that there is demonic influence that is influencing worldly messages, teachers, and it comes down to the false messages that we hear. And I know we don't believe that in Western society. We're very practical, science-based, like, hey, prove to me that miracles exist. Otherwise, I don't believe in miracles. Prove to me that demons and angels exist. Otherwise, I won't believe in them. But that's what Scripture teaches us, that there is a spiritual battle. When people leave the faith, there is demonic influence at work. And I think it's really important for you guys to know. So we have 2 points today. One is departing the faith. The second one is clinging to the faith. So here's the first point. Let's go to the next slide. What it means to depart from the faith. We're going to see there's almost like a process. There's something that people are led astray by when we say that they are departing from the faith. So if you have your scriptures, you should be in 2 Timothy or 1 Timothy chapter 4. And I realize I haven't turned there yet in my Bible, so give me a moment for me to turn there. But if you have your bulletins, that's an easy way to be there as well. 1 Timothy chapter 4. And I want to read it again because I think when we read scripture, sometimes it just it hits us in a different way the more we read it. So let me reread verses 1 to 3, departing from the faith. Now the Spirit expressly says that in later times some will depart from the faith by devoting themselves to deceitful spirits and teachings of demons. Let's actually stop there. I also notice that when Paul begins this phrase, he says that the Spirit expressly says, meaning not that the Holy Spirit spoke audibly, we don't exactly know how that happened, but that the Holy Spirit made it known to Paul that in the later time, some people will depart from the faith. And we are living in these last days, these later times, where people will walk away from the faith. And let's go to the next slide, because there's one key thing I want us to see. Let's go to the next point that I have at the bottom. That deception is the devil's weapon of choice. Deception is the devil's weapon of choice. That he's going to use a couple things, but you guys have probably heard that phrase, the greatest trick the devil ever played on you was to convince you that he never exists, that he does not exist. If you live your life ignorant or unaware of how you're being tempted and how there's evil forces in the world, spirits, angels, and demons, well, we've already been fooled. The greatest trick, you probably heard this classic quote, that the devil plays is to convince you that he does not exist, because he can move in the shadows. He can trick you and deceive you, and you don't even know that he's there. And that's part of what happens when we're led astray by his deception. So in the next slide, I want to show almost like a three-layer process, that at the very bottom, we see all around this world, there are deceptive ideas. And they obviously come from deceitful liars, teachers. But they are influenced by a demonic doctrine. Doctrine just means teaching. There's a demonic influence that is influencing these lying teachers. And I want to break that down one by one. So let's have the next point on the slide where we talk about demonic doctrine. Let's have that. And I think the verse underneath it. So in verse 1, it says that some will depart from the faith by devoting themselves to deceitful spirits and teachings of demons. So it says it right there. I'm not making it up. Paul in Scripture says that the teachings of demons will result in deceptive ideas taught by deceitful liars. I know it's really hard to believe. As I said, we live in a world that's very, show me evidence that something exists, and then I'll believe you. But we have to see that there's a spiritual world at work. And so when we see that teachings of demons influences everything, that helps us look and discern what's right and what's wrong. Now, you guys may know, but Satan is sometimes referred to as the father of lies. One Bible teacher says that to call someone the father of something is to mean that they're originator, that Satan is the originator of lies. It's what he does. And if you think about Abraham, he's the father of Israel, because he originated the descendants, the father Abraham. He's the originator. So for Satan to be the father of lies, it means that his greatest weapon to you is to deceive you, is to slip lies into your mind. After all, who were our first parents? Adam and Eve. And they fell into sin because Satan deceived them. He inserts a seed of doubt. Did God really say you cannot eat from the fruit? Did God really say? In other scriptures, Satan is called an angel of light. That we often think of the devil or demons being like a red little creature with a jumpsuit and a tail and pitchfork. And like if he appeared to us, we'd be really scared. Actually, no. If you were to be harassed by demonic forces, it would appear to you maybe on your phone through the false messages that you see. The devil disguises himself as an angel of light. Do not be so arrogant to think that you could see through these forces. He's been at it for thousands and thousands of years from human history. He's been doing this and perfecting his craft. We should never be so prideful to think that we can outsmart the devil. He knows us. He's been studying humans for centuries. And so deception is his greatest weapon. So at the very root of it, there's this demonic root, this demonic doctrine that seeks to trick us. And there's this word here I want us to look at, the word devote, that some will depart from the faith by devoting themselves. And I know devoting, it's a very common word, so you know what it means, but there it comes with association of paying attention. Where you pay attention to with your hearts, your minds, that is what you will devote your life with. If you look at your phone, your screen time, what receives the most screen time on your phone? What apps, what types of videos, what types of games, what types of things do you do on your phone? What has the most attention in your life? That is what you are devoting yourself to. Even when you're not on your phone and what you do in your life, whether it is sports or school, extracurriculars, friends, What you devote your time to reveals the treasure of your heart. The devil is so deceptive, and he wants to bring us down in the most deceptive ways. And so how does the devil do this? Well, let's go to the next point, that he does this through deceitful liars, that people devote themselves to demons through verse 2, through the insincerity of liars whose consciences are seared. And so how does the devil and his demons gain entry into this world? There's not like a portal where, like in what's that TV show? Loki, where you can, demons go through this portal and enter this world. I mean, that'd be really scary. But imagine, what if that happened? If there's a portal and demons enter the world, we would probably pray more. We would turn to the Bible more. They don't want that. So they want to influence you through deceptive means, and that is through other people. Because you do not suspect other people of being willing tools. I'm not saying that every false teacher is like demon possessed and they're like floating in the sky like the movies. But I am saying the messages that they teach, there is a demonic influence to it that if you are not careful, you'll fall into and believe these lies. One scholar says, demon-inspired doctrine, they gain entry into the world and the church through human agents. Isn't that scary? Isn't that so deceptive? That's why when countries send spies into other countries, they try to get someone from their own. They try to use a double agent, someone who knows that country, who is one of them. That is, in a sense, the danger of deceitful liars. And sometimes they don't even know. So when Paul says the insincerity of liars, insincerity, it simply means hypocrisy, someone who is acting two-faced. And so Paul is calling these teachers who claim to be righteous that they are liars. And Paul's exposing them for what they are because their conscience, it's seared. You know what your conscience is? It's that faculty in your mind that knows right from wrong. So when you steal something from a neighbor, there is this God-given conscience that says, I shouldn't have done that. That's wrong. But to say that your conscience is seared, it's almost like saying it's been calloused. It's been hardened. You're no longer sensitive to what's right and what's wrong. Really silly example, but I had this really bad habit that I would pull my mustache hairs in college. I don't know why. It was there, so I just pull it. And it hurt a lot at first. I'm like, man, this hurts, but I'll just keep doing it. And so I kept doing it until like there's like all these little hairs on my arm, or because that's where I placed it, and I swiped it off later. But you know what happened? It hurt a lot the first time, but then later, it stopped hurting because my skin cells, I guess the pain receptors were just deadened or hardened. It didn't really feel as much pain. And I don't know why I did that. Of course, I stopped doing that. It's a really silly example. When you sin in some area for the first time, maybe you cheat for the first time or you abuse a drug for the first time, it's going to feel wrong. But the more you do it again and again and again, your conscience is seared. You're no longer sensitive to what's right and wrong. That's why addictions are so addictive, that you can't stop it because you're doing the same sin over and over again, and you just lose sense of right and wrong, and you no longer feel guilty. And Paul's saying these teachers, they once had perhaps an okay conscience, but now it's just seared. They don't even feel bad about what they say. So if you were to, let's say you would take someone from a cult or from another religion, and you were to say, put it them on a lie detector and ask them, is Jesus Lord? They would say no. They are telling the truth according to their conscience, but it is a broken conscience. And that's how so far they've veered off from the faith. And that's why these teachers are so dangerous, because they believe what they say. They're not lying. But that's what makes them so dangerous. And so the natural transition, deceitful liars and teachers, let's go to the next point, they teach deceptive ideas. And this is specific to the context. It will look different in our context. But as I said, they taught a form of asceticism, denying worldly pleasure. And so these teachers taught that they forbid marriage and required abstinence from foods, things like meat or things like that. And so this was the struggle and the deceptive idea that the original audience was going through. Now, why is that? Why do they target marriage? Why do they target certain foods? Well, in the physical body, that is our two basic desires. Humans in marriage, a natural sex drive is God-given and good. In the human body, there's a natural hunger drive. You get hungry when it's lunchtime. God made food to be good. God made sex to be good. These are good gifts. And yet these false teachers are saying, in order to attain a higher form of holiness, even salvation, you have to forbid and not do any of these things. Why was this so evil for that time? Why was it so evil for this group of this church? Here's why. It places an obstacle before salvation. It says you have to have faith plus works. You have to have faith and follow all the rules of denying this, this, and that, and then you can be a follower of Jesus. Maybe that's not so different from some of us. Maybe we think, I can be a Christian if I just follow all the rules, deny all these bad things, and do all these right things. If I just follow all the Ten Commandments, then I'll be a good Christian. Then I'll actually be a legit Christian. It's so dangerous because it keeps people away. It misportrays the gospel where it says that his forgiveness is for all who repent. And so if I'm in this original audience and I'm in this church and I'm an outsider and I show up to this church and I say, oh, so to follow Jesus, I can't get married and I can't eat food. Well, that seems a little much. Okay, well, I'm not really interested. I would walk out of that church. And you know what happened? The deception of demons, demonic doctrine, just veered me away from that church. And so demonic doctrine will use anything to distract people and lead them astray from the faith. That's why it is so dangerous and evil. It would be like if you invite a friend to church and they say, oh, I have to do this to be a Christian. I have to do all these rules. I think I'm good. That's the danger of leading people astray through false doctrine. In today's world, you're probably very aware of a lot of messages that we see. And I want to show maybe two. If we go to the next slide, there's two that I want to look at. Let's go to the first point that I have. There's something called a works-based righteousness, meaning you earn your righteousness, you earn your salvation by how good you are, by how much good works you do. So you might say something like, if you sin, or someone might say, if you sin, you're not worthy to be saved by God. And there's something very faulty with that thinking, because you're saying, if I do the right stuff, then I can be saved. Second quote might be, God only loves you when you're good and obedient. That sounds like it kind of makes sense, but what does Scripture say? While we're still sinners, while we're still enemies of God, Christ died for us. God doesn't love us when you are perfect. God loves you where you're at, but he will lead you to holiness. It's not your job to clean yourself up and then approach our Savior. Only he can clean you and cleanse you. So this is a works-based righteousness that might be easy for us, some of us, to believe. Let's go to the next point, because there's maybe the opposite spectrum of belief. There's something called easy believism. I know maybe it's a new word, but it basically says that all I have to do is pray a little prayer and I can live my own life one way. As long as I say, Jesus, forgive my sins, please let me go to heaven. I want you to just save me from hell. And now let me live my life. Jesus, move out of the way. Let me live my life my own way. Out of the way, Jesus. Is that really Christianity? That you can just use Jesus as a get out of hell card and then you live your own way? That doesn't really seem like a follower of Christ. And then the second quote, Jesus can be a part of my life, maybe like a side part, like just an extracurricular or something like that, but he's not the point of my life. He's not the purpose of my life, but he can be just something I give like my leftovers to. Is that really what discipleship is? That you can just give Jesus a small part of your life, but not all of it? That's the other extreme, that Jesus forgives me, so let me just live my life. These are dangerous ideas that the enemy will use to deceive us. And so how do we use God's truth to combat these messages? Let's go to the next slide. I think I should have something. So this kind of leads us to the next point. If there are false messages that deceive us, we need the truth. We need a weapon of our own. If the weapon of the enemy is deception, what is the weapon of the believer? So let's go to the next slide, and we're going to see what that is. Let's have the next point as well. God's word at the very bottom, God's word, scripture, the Bible you hold in your hands is the believer's weapon of choice to expose falsehood, expose lies, but also to help you enjoy God's good gifts with thankfulness. Let me explain that. So verses 3-5 says this. These are the false teachers who forbid marriage and require abstinence, meaning a denial from foods that God created to be received with thanksgiving by those who believe and know the truth of God's word. For everything created by God is good, and nothing is to be rejected if it is received with thanksgiving, for it is made holy by the word of God and prayer. What's going on right now? So this is obviously in reference to marriage and food that, according to asceticism, was being denied. But Paul's saying God created food to be good. He didn't create junk food, but he created food to be good. And this should be something that you can be enjoyed with thanksgiving. Of course, you can't go out of control. There's such thing as gluttony or just overeating, of course. But food is to be enjoyed as a gift from God. Marriage, sex, God's good gift that he created to be enjoyed in marriage. Yes, sex can be perverted, whether in the form of pornography, sexting, strip clubs, other forms of sexual perversion. Yes, sex can be perverted, but at its core, it is a good gift created by God to be enjoyed in marriage, and that should be the freedom of the believer to be married with thanksgiving as a gift from God. And so this is what Paul is trying to fight back against. And only God's word can give basically the foundation of our counterattack. Because when you look at scripture, whether it's Genesis 1, when God establishes marriage, we see that God creates as a good gift. So that's in a sense how we can use God's word to expose falsehood. So let's go to the next slide. Let's go back to these doctrines that we saw. So the first one, we saw a works-based righteousness, which is demonic teaching at the core of it. But what is God's word that can actually combat this? Let's go to the next point. We have to remember that we are saved by grace, not by works. Ephesians 2:8 says this, and Ephesians is appropriate because Timothy is at the city of Ephesus. It says, "For by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast." You are a Christian, not because you said a sinner's prayer. You are saved, not because you are good enough. You're not saved because you happen to be more morally superior. You are saved sheerly by the grace of God. Do you believe in that, or do you trust in your own good works? That, oh, I'm not a murderer, I'm not a liar, so yeah, I'm good enough to be saved. That is pride in our own works. Now, what about the other false belief of easy believism? Let's go to the next, scripture passage for that. It says, the theme, the cost of discipleship, let's have the Bible verse from Luke 7:21. Jesus teaches this. He says, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven." Now again, faith alone, by grace alone, saves you. But if you're truly saved, that should result in a life that is transformed. Here's what it means. Just because you say a prayer when you're little, that doesn't mean you're saved. Just because you read your Bible and pray, that doesn't mean you're saved. Are you following the will of God? Are you following Jesus in the day-to-day? Not that that saves you, but that is the natural result of somebody who is saved by faith. It's a very easy line to get confused, but we have to keep both of these in balance. You are saved by grace, not works, but a genuine faith will result in a life of good works. Here's my big idea for today. I think that's the next slide. Big idea for today, and I'll still have some application points afterwards, but it's this. Hold fast to the sound doctrine of Scripture, so you will not be led astray by demonic doctrine disguised as modern ideas. I'll give you guys a moment to write that down. I want to share a scene from a movie. I'm not going to show it, but I'll show a picture, a screenshot. Let's go to the next slide. If you guys have watched Lord of the Rings, have you guys seen this movie before? It's a little scary, but let me explain what's happening. In the second picture, there's a king on his throne. His name is Theoden, and he has an advisor called Wormtongue, kind of fitting for his name, and he whispers lies into the king, even against people who are trying to help him. And so this king is a shell of his former self. He is called to be a king, but he forgets his place because a deceiver is whispering lies into his ears. It's not until Gandalf in the picture on the right, that's actually the same person. The person sitting on the throne, it's the same person as the person on the left. But it's because Gandalf frees him from the lies of Wormtongue. He goes in, he disarms all of his soldiers, and he basically defeats Wormtongue, and he frees him from the lies of the enemy. It's a very, very clear parallel that in this life, there's always somebody whispering lies into your ear. But the question is, who are you listening to? Who has the greatest voice in your life? Satan's goal, he's always trying to separate you from God, from his truth, and his church. So if you ever have a thought, a temptation that would cause you to be separated from God, his people, his truth, and the church, chances are that's from the devil. So let's say you sin and you feel really guilty and you think, God, why would you ever forgive me? You're probably so fed up with me. That's probably from the devil because he's trying to separate you from God's grace. Maybe you're struggling with something and you know you should be at church to connect with brothers and sisters, but you maybe think to yourself, I mean, it's been so long since I've been at church. Would people even care about me? That's a lie from the devil. He's trying to separate you from the church, the God's people who can help you through your struggle. Be careful of the temptations and lies and doubts that are in your mind. Chances are there's a demonic influence that got it there. What you have to do is to let God's word, the Bible, speak truth and life to your heart. So let me ask a very practical question. Do you read your Bible throughout the week? When I was in high school, the answer was no. I probably opened it twice in a week. Once Friday night on Unicoi. Well, that wasn't my youth fellowship back then. Once on Sunday during Sunday school or youth the service. That's the only time I opened my Bible throughout the week. And if I opened my Bible, it was just like, okay, open to a random page, read a verse, and I fall asleep. I would do that. And I know it's very easy to be like that because there's so much in life that feels important. If you don't open your Bible throughout the week, you're not letting the word of God speak to you. You are actually allowing the deceiver to speak to you, to slip lies into your head. You and I face temptation every single day. I'm raising my hand. There are lies slipped into my mind every single day. There is temptation slipped into my mind every single day to separate me from God, his truth, his love, and the church. I need God's word like I need oxygen. I need God's word like I need water. I've seen how weak I am without God's word and his presence. Because when I'm in God's word, it's not a magical book, but if God revealed his revelation through his word, when I read his word, I know what God is like. I experience his presence. I experience his peace and forgiveness. If you are not in God's word, if you're not reading the Bible, then you're being discipled by the doctrines of the world, which are influenced by demons and ultimately our enemy. So I want us to think about what are the lies in your head? What are the lies that when you open social media and you flip through Instagram, you look at the shorts or the reels or the posts, what are the messages that it's trying to get you to believe? Be so, so careful. The devil is so deceptive. He's not going to have like a post that says, hey, believe in Satanism, join the Satan club. That'd be too obvious. But maybe the devil influences influential people in the world to popularize certain things like, get into this college, your life will be complete. maybe it's advertisements about certain watches or shoes that if you have this, it is not going to say it outright, but something about your life would be complete if you had this pair of shoes, this clothing, this gadget, this thing. There are so many types of deception in this world. We need God's word to enjoy those gifts. So it's not wrong if I want a pair of Nikes. Because remember, we learned today, the Christian life is not don't buy Nikes because materialism is bad. No. Christian freedom is you can enjoy a pair of Nikes, but is that your everything? Do you build your identity on how people see you if you're cool, popular, and well-dressed? That is maybe the battle where it's at. There is so much deception in this world. But I want you to know that Jesus, he wants you to follow him. He wants you to know his love, his forgiveness, and what it means to follow him. And make no mistake, following Jesus will cost you everything. Following Jesus will cost you everything. It's not a short fix in your life. It'll change everything about you. But it's only through Jesus that we experience joy, eternal life, everlasting peace. Isn't that worth it than the temporary joys of this world? You and I, we experience lies every single day. I do. I need God's word to help me navigate through the mess and the chaos and the deception. And I hope you place your trust in God's word as well. There's so many great technological advances nowadays. You can listen to the Bible if you don't have time on a certain day. It's so easy. The Bible app, just press play. You can listen to the Bible. You can listen to worship songs that sing the truth of God to your heart. You could call a friend and they can encourage you with a truth from Scripture. We need so many influences of God in our life. But are we taking advantage of that? Build your life on God's word, which is the truth of God, and he will lead your path straight. Let me pray for us right now. Lord, I want to pray for every student here, which they are in different places. Some of them, they truly are following you, and they find so much joy in your presence. Lord, I pray that these students keep going. Or there are some students who are on the fence. They know all the stories. They know the right things to say, but they're just not yet sure. They're impacted by the deception of the messages in the world, whether to prioritize school, sports, academics, friends, whatever it may be. Lord, help us to see that the enemy is always trying to deceive us through everyday things. Lord, I pray that you would move in the hearts of the students who are on the fence. And Lord, I want to pray for the students who are far from you. Maybe they just have no interest, but for some reason, you brought them here today. God, I pray that they would know that Christianity, it's not a religion of rules. It's a relationship of following our Lord and our Savior. God, I pray for the students who are far from you, that something would click in their hearts and in their minds, and they would see that to be with you is far greater, far more joyful than anything that this world has to offer. Thank you, Lord, for sending your son, Jesus. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.